Good afternoon. I'd like to call the 1,361st meeting of the Board of Directors to order. We will start with public comment. The first speaker is Mr. Bill Orleans. Mr. Orleans, welcome.
Good afternoon, all board. Old, new, and perspective. I think there are perspectives.
I'm sorry, I think your mic may not be on, Mr. Orleans. We want to hear you. Thank you. They'll help you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Orleans.
I might have thought this morning in the security report there could have been an additional category discussed, assaults on the authority of authority. Three weeks ago at the Governance Committee, the most recent Governance Committee meeting, a question was put to General Counsel, are meetings of the JCC public? The response was no, that they are not. There's been some question about this for some time. I would maintain, if only because I've been attending the meetings of the JCC for 2 years, and in the minutes reflect the fact that I'm there publicly as opposed to having any real reason to be there, that they are public, if only for that precedent. I would also argue that they should be seen to be public whether or not I had ever been attending, but that's something for board and general counsel to decide, or board and general manager to decide. I don't know who's going to determine whether this is a policy question or a staff decision. And if it's a staff decision, I don't know who on the staff made such decision that I should not be permitted any longer to go to JCC. I came on February 25th intending to go to the meeting, was denied an opportunity to attend the meeting, and subsequently was arrested because I wouldn't leave until I was allowed to participate in the meeting, as I've been doing for more than 2 years. I intend to go tomorrow. I don't know if board wants to, or staff, wants to allow that any time I come for that purpose, I should just expect to be arrested. I don't look forward to it. But I'm going to continue to come to that meeting because, in fact, it's, from my perspective, a public meeting, if only because I whine sufficiently in a long enough period of time to be allowed to attend. I would hope that the board might reflect that it's not in its interest, WMATA's interest, or the authority's interest, that I should continually be arrested for attempting to come to JCC.
Thank you, Mr. Orleans. Does that conclude your testimony?
Yes, I'm just ready to try
this. Okay, thank you. I think she will take care of that. Thank you. I will ask the general manager to come back with a response to Mr. Orleans regarding his issue.
We will do that.
Thank you very much. The next item of the agenda is approval of the agenda. Are there any questions or objections? Hearing none, the agenda stands as provided on the blue sheet. And the changes indicates the spotlight information that has changed on that sheet, as well as the elimination of an item. The next item is the approval of the minutes of February 24. Is there a motion for approval of the minutes? Motion by Mr. Acosta and second by Mr. Downs. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Let me start with my comments for the chair by, first of all, acknowledging the presence of our three new Maryland board members. Let me see where they are. And I'm going to call their names and welcome them. We have been a constant changing board, and we welcome you as the most recent additions, Mr. former Congressman Mike Barnes, Ms. Artis Hampshire-Cohen, and Mr. Alvin Nichols. Thank you all very much for being here. We look forward to you joining us on the other side very soon, and we are certain that your experiences will be experiences that will enhance the work that we do here at the board. Thank you very much. One other item from the chair is committee assignments. We are going to have some changes, and let me start with the changes that are going to occur. I have an item somewhere. When we were at our last committee, Mr. Peter Benjamin gave us some very surprising news that he would be going off the board. And we all had our comments of praise to Peter. I think the most significant one is the experience that Peter has brought from, one, his term on the authority and his service on the board that has provided us a constant institutional look at what Metro has been and has guided us in what we are working to make Metro continue to be. And so as Peter leaves this board, we want to thank him for his dedication. He is a committed Metro person. He uses every part of the service, and he understands and spends a great deal of time sharing with us what all of the assets are of this system and what it means to our region. And we know that as you leave the board, Peter, you probably will not be far from us. You are probably going to be close in our ears, but most importantly, I think we will remember your service by thinking how we address the policies that go forward in your absence. If you'll come forward, I'd like to present to you. Wow, it's heavy. The traditional Metro pylon, and it is the Metro Board of Directors recognizes and thanks your colleague Peter Benjamin for his dedication and service from 2007-2011. Thank you very much. I will only mention that we had another departure, and she's not here, and that we hope we'll have an opportunity also to have her here for a presentation, and that's Betty Hewlett has also left our board. And Betty came as someone who, first seat on the board, she sat in the chair seat, and she had a very good year as chair and very great service, caring very much about this authority, whether it was the employees, the customers, the policies that we made. Betty was very engaged, and we will miss her service, but I'm sure that for her this has been a tenure that she's enjoyed, and she will move on to other outstanding things in her life. So our thank you to Betty. One other area, since Peter is leaving our board, and he has had the service of finance chair, and Betty was the vice chair of finance, we have a vacancy that must be filled. And I, as a chair, have the opportunity to appoint chairs. And because of the presence of our process in the budget process at this time, I am going to serve as chair of the Finance Committee as we go through the budget, as well as until we go through the reorganizations of committees, and I will leave the vice chair vacant, and hopefully that process will continue quickly, and we will be able to reorganize our committees and restructure and formulate finance and administration at a different time. And I don't think, do we need a motion for that one? I don't think we do. All righty. Sure. Mr. Downs.
Thank Peter again publicly for his intellect, his total dedication to both the authority and to the transit industry. I will, for one, miss him. I'll miss his professionalism, his integrity, his friendship. And I want to also recognize that it's not just 2007 to 11. It's how long has it been here at the authority, Peter?
25 years.
That's what I thought. But who's counting, right? So thank you.
The next item. Did I get it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm recognizing Ms. Porter. Thank you.
I just wanted to add my thanks to Peter also. In my long 3-month tenure on the board so far, I would note, first of all, that his leaving And Ms. Hewlett's leaving means that I am, with a tenure of 3 months, now the senior Maryland member on the board, a frightening prospect. But I also just wanted to thank Peter for the help and assistance that he's given me as a new member, and also the context that he puts our discussions in. Very often he will, at the beginning of a discussion, give us the background, the context, the reason this is coming up at this point. I have found that extremely helpful, and I'm hoping that there will be someone else on the board who can step in and perform that function for those of us who are still learning. But I am planning to continue to pick Peter's brain, and when things come up that require some decision on my part, I plan to call on him for his expertise. And I'm very appreciative of everything he's given so far, and looking forward to continuing to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Porter. The report from the general manager.
Thank you. Today, the board is asked to consider the selection of a development team to create a signature transit-oriented development project around the new Carrollton Metro Rail Station in Prince George's County. Metro and MDOT combined properties to offer 39 acres for redevelopment around the new Carrollton Station through a competitive process we initiated last September. Following a rigorous evaluation of five groups that responded to the solicitation, the selection team unanimously chose the Forest City Urban Atlantic Development Team to lead the project. I want to thank Matt Bottenheimer and Metro's Director of Real Estate, Steve Golden, for their leadership on this project, which includes a new approach to funding pre-development planning. For this project, Metro and MDOT will jointly invest up to $1 million to reimburse the development team in support of station development planning, ensuring that all stakeholders are active participants in this public-private partnership. This investment will increase the ultimate land value for Metro. With our board's and MDOT's approvals, we will begin selecting consultants to assist in the creation of a conceptual development plan involving the public and stakeholders, ensure the future integration of the Purple Line, implement the results of Metro's bus needs analysis, and enhance access to the new Carrollton Metro Rail Station via multiple modes. This is a great reminder of what a mature and vibrant transit system means for our local economy. The Metro Rail system is a catalyst that stimulates millions of dollars in economic development for the region. It's a fact we cannot take for granted, and it's timely today to reflect on how, by providing mobility to millions, Metro has evolved to connect our region, our residents, and our economy. It was March 27, 1976, when we opened a tiny 4.6-mile stretch of the Red Line. Riders were invited to climb on board at no charge. Metro predicted 10,000 people would show up that day for their free ride. But in fact, 51,000 people jammed onto the shiny new trains. In fact, the Washington Post reported delays due to crowding conditions.
Not inconsistent.
In that first year, the system ran from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. with a fare of 55 cents during the peak and 40 cents in the off-peak periods. Riders had a choice of five stations: Farragut North, Metro Center, Judiciary Square, Union Station, and Rhode Island Avenue. There were no transfers. In fact, there were no other lines. A generation later, we served the region with a 106-mile system, providing more than 750,000 rail trips per day, swelling to more than 1 million for President Obama's inauguration. People from across the country and around the world use the system and recognize our map as a symbol for the nation's capital. In fact, the very map of the system is iconic, which is why I'm pleased that the father of the map, Lance Wyman, is working with us to prepare for our future. Together, we take pride in having become America's subway. While anniversaries offer a moment for reflection, we also note that the system has reached a critical juncture. We need to dedicate ourselves to restoring and maintaining this national treasure for the next generation. You've heard me say that we are literally rebuilding Metro to make vital safety improvements, restore the infrastructure to a state of good repair, and modernize our equipment. The rebuilding effort, the largest since the system was originally built, requires a strategic investment of $5 billion over 6 years. The first $1 billion is dedicated to address recommendations made by the National Transportation Safety Board, including the acquisition of 7,000 series rail cars that will replace our oldest 1,000 series cars. Yes, These are the same cars that were in service when Metro opened 35 years ago, and they are still in operation today. Celebrating the 35th anniversary of Metrorail with the largest capital rebuilding program since it was built is a fitting tribute and a critically necessary investment to restore the system to a state of good repair. It is not the glamorous work, but the nuts and bolts of rebuilding of track and signals and escalators and platforms and equipment that must be done to ensure safety and reliability. It's the work that prevents mechanical failures and train delays and bus breakdowns. But these efforts are at risk because of the threat looming on Capitol Hill. Our major capital program is supported with an annual contribution from the federal government of $150 million that is matched by each of the jurisdictions. These funds were authorized under the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act, known as PREA. In addition, we received federal formula funds that in FY12 would total $248 million, but these funds could be eliminated or dramatically reduced. If that happens, we will use whatever funds we have available to assure that the system is safe, but everything else will be on the table. And unfortunately, our customers will bear the burden of such cuts through more frequent train delays, less reliable trains and buses, deteriorated station conditions, longer lines, and delayed customer information. The 2010 Urban Mobility Report, published in January by the Texas Transportation Institute at Texas A&M, highlighted research that illustrates the effects of the nation's traffic congestion problem. The most recent report noted that the Washington metropolitan area ranked first in the nation in the amount of excess fuel consumed while stuck in traffic. It ranked the area first in the number of people and hours lost spent stuck in traffic. It ranked us second in terms of the cost of congestion per automobile commuter. And it ranked the area as the second highest in terms of commuter stress levels. Can you imagine what would happen if we allowed this system to degrade further, offer less reliable service, and push more commuters onto the gridlocked roadways? Now is not the time to go backwards. In the year that I have been at Metro, we have made steady and substantial progress, and it is gratifying to see our safety progress recognized today by the TOC, just as it was gratifying to receive a letter commending our safety progress from the FTA this month. Clearly, there is work to do and many challenges ahead. Our commitment is to keep focused on doing what's right and moving Metro forward. To that end, I will be working with the staff, the board, and our delegation next week as Congress resumes its work on the budget to advocate for the funding Metro desperately needs to rebuild our system. It is our privilege and our responsibility to stand up for our customers and our region. Now I'd like to ask Dave Kubitschek to please introduce our employee spotlight.
Good afternoon. Robert Carter is a utility clerk at the West Falls Church Metro Rail Station, where he fills the roles of both a station manager and a rail supervisor. On the snowy and icy evening of Wednesday, January the 26th, which I think in the region was called Snowmageddon, Mr. Carter was working as one of the Orange Line station managers and was heading home at the end of his shift. He took the train to West Falls Church Station to retrieve his car and head home for the night. He was dropped off at the station at approximately 1 a.m., but when he got off the last work train for the night, he was shocked to see about 65 people standing in the station. They had just been dropped off by the Fairfax Connector County bus and had been stuck in traffic for over 6 hours. Standing with the customers were station managers Mr. Brown and Mr. San Juan. Upon speaking with the customers, the men discovered that the customers all needed to get home, and of course they lived in various locations throughout the region. They contacted the Rail Operations Control Center, which devised a logistical plan to use the various work trains, which are used to transport employees after Metro Rail system is closed, to get the 65 individuals to their destinations. To do so, Metro work trains were held or returned to service to accommodate the stranded customers. When the work train arrived, Rail Supervisor Tanya McKenzie was aboard. She accompanied Mr. Carter and Mr. Brown as they transported the customers. Mr. Carter, a trained rail operator, received approval to operate one end of the arriving work train, while operator Gary Parker operated the other end to get the customers home. The train would stop at a station, let customers off, and one of our employees would escort exiting customers off the train. They would all head to the exit, where an employee would unlock the gate and let the customer exit. The employee would then go back to the train, hop on board, and off they would go to the next station until they delivered everybody home safely. I would like to invite all of these individuals to the center with our board chair and general manager for pictures, please.
I have to take a moment to comment and say a personal thank you. The station managers I see every time I come through the West Falls Church station, and when I see them, they're usually busily acknowledging the customers and assisting them, and I guess today's example truly is the kind of dedication that they have long beyond the hours and the commitment that we think we provide in their employment. So thank you very much for your work, and what an outstanding response to a need for our customers. The next item on our agenda is the report of the Finance and Administration Committee, and Mr. Benjamin, could you provide that?
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens. We have three actions before us, all of which we have reviewed in the Finance and Administration Committee. I would note that there are substantial differences in two of those actions compared to what left Finance and Administration and compared to what you had sent out to you earlier. And I will try to summarize those changes so that you know what it is that we're doing. First, the easy one is the traction power DC cable by DC's direct current, not the District of Columbia. And this is a project where we're being asked to initiate and award multiple competitive material procurement contracts and or use existing contracts to purchase traction power cable accessories and equipment, to initiate and award a competitive multi-year contract for cable installation, and to authorize three new capitally funded positions to provide management, engineering, and field support. There's been no change to this item other than a minor number change in the proposed budget, but I would note that as we approve this, we're approving $6.98 million in fiscal 12 and $27.9 million subject to availability of funds in fiscal 13 through 16. I move approval.
Mr. Benjamin's move approval. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Downey. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you. Mr. Benjamin?
This next project, which is for FTA Transit Management Grants and Pilot Program, is one in which there has been substantial change based upon the discussion and action that was taken in a Finance and Administration Committee. Metro was awarded a $3 million FTA Asset Management Grant in October of 2010, and it was composed of $2.4 million in federal funds and $600,000 in funds that the local jurisdictions had to provide. The source that was identified by staff at the time was not acceptable to the board, and as a result, they found an alternative source, and it's essentially overmatched that we had available, and that was in the 1,000 series cars HVAC portion. That amount is $600,000, and this document now is revised to show if you look on the third page, that it's coming out of the 1000 series rail car HVAC and that it's going into the transit and asset management program. You can see the grand total there has gone from, it is now going to be $3 million. The grant that we have received is $3 million. We are also approving an application for an additional $1 million, and we're approving the inclusion of that grant in the capital program should we receive the grant. $1 million does not need a local match. So that is the next one. And so our actions here are to approve the application, to create a transit asset management capital improvement plan project, and approve the programming of any funds resulting from the application with that of the previously awarded grant, to authorize an increase in the capital budget of $2.4 million because $600,000 was already there, from $852.5 million to $854.9 million, to authorize one new capital position to be funded from this project, and to authorize the general manager to initiate an award, contract actions, or agreements necessary to implement this project, to do the reprogramming that I described earlier, and to authorize the overall increase of the capital budget should we receive the additional $1 million. Are there any questions?
Is there a second?
Let me move it first. I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there questions? No questions? I just like to comment. I just like to comment that this is a grant that FTA we are applying to that for this management system because of best practices that we are going to demonstrate for larger transit opportunities. So I think it's recognizing the work that we've done already in this area.
I do believe that asset management is one of the critical issues both for us and transit authorities throughout the country, and we can be a leader in this area by moving forward in this way.
Thank you. All those in favor of the item?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Next, Mr.
Okay, the next one is also a substantial number of changes, but the basic project is the same. What we're talking about here is capital projects, and follow on the blue sheet if you can, to do a modification of the existing standpipe rehabilitation contract by adding up to $6.2 million, moving it from $9 million to $15.2 million, to do a reprogramming of $3.7 million within the capital budget, and there's a table in here that shows that, and to increase the job order contract 3 authorization by $4 million from $79.1 million to $83.1 million. What's going on is if you look at page 3 of this project, of this action, what you see is the various categories that are contributing the $3.7 million. They are all projects which in this year are running slightly behind or lower than estimated and therefore can contribute certain amounts of money, and those grand total come out at $3.7 million. And then the passenger facilities project, system-wide infrastructure rehabilitation, picks up the $3.7 million. The details of what happens with that money as it goes forward is on the next table, the last page of the BAIS. And what you see in there is that all of the $3.7 million of reprogramming goes into the system-wide infrastructure rehabilitation, and in fiscal 2011, $1.8 million goes for standpipe, $1.9 million goes for chiller work. Within the rail rehab Tier 1, which is DuPont to Silver Spring, $1.2 million already in that project gets moved to chiller work. And on the rail rehabilitation Tier 1 National Airport to Stadium Armory, $900,000 goes to chiller work. Again, funded with money that's already in the program. And note that this also moves $4.4 million for the standpipe in the fiscal 2012 project budget. So this is an action to modify this, the two contracts, to reprogram, to increase the job order contract. I move this item.
Thank you, Mr. Benjamin. A move by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Downey. Are there questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? item passes. The next item on our agenda, do you have anything else, Mr. Fincher?
That's it, though if I may make one comment, since I will be leaving, and this is probably my last report, it has been a very definite honor and a privilege to work with all of you, to work with Metro, both as an employee and then come back as a board member, and have this opportunity to make a difference for the riders of our system, for the people of this region, and for those people who visit the nation's capital from across the country and around the world. It has been a true opportunity, and I hope I have been able to make that difference. The one set of words I would try to leave you with are the ones that I've repeated here often. And that is, the job of Metro is not to run buses and trains. Our job is to move people. It is to provide mobility options for all of those people in this region that need transportation. And that's where our focus always has to be. Thank you.
Well said, and thank you very much, Mr. Bindon. Okay, we'll move to the report of joint development. And
your motion on that? A vote taken?
Yes, the vote.
I apologize. I just want to, FYI, certainly not opposed to the reallocation of the reprogramming rather the dollars from the Wall Street bus barn, but just want to make sure that that is still in the queue. And I know it is, but I must clarify that.
You're on the record.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Wells, the Joint Development and Real Estate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first item is sale of excess property at West Falls Church Service and Inspection Yard. This has to do with to convey excess property and to grant two easements to Dominion Virginia Power for a Dulles Extension substation at the West Falls Church Service and Inspection Yard.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
And a second? Second by Mr. Acosta. I would just like to comment that noted in this, there is the assurance that the trail in that perimeter will be upgraded, as has been a concern of the area residents there. So that's a good thing that's happening there.
That's right, Madam Chair. There will be new and better access for the people that live around the station.
Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. The next item.
Yes, Madam Chair, the next item is the Greenbelt Joint Development Agreement, where the board's being asked to approve to execute an amended and restated joint development agreement with Metroland Developers for the sale of Greenbelt Metro Rail Station Joint Development Site. The amended joint development agreement reflects terms approved by the board at its November 2010 executive session, and essentially what it will do is that it will, this action will grant a time extension to compete for a major federal office tenant. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm just going to make a note that we wanted to say that it was referred from executive session.
Oh, right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Mr. Wells moves approval. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Benjamin. Any discussion? Thank you. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes. Next.
Yes, the next item, Twinbrook Joint Development Agreement and Phase 1A Lease. This is asking the board to approve an amended Twinbrook Joint Development Agreement and the Phase 1A Lease. These agreements incorporate terms that were taken up by the board in December 2010. The terms reflect current market conditions rather than those that prevailed when the Joint Development Agreement was executed in 2002. The board approved an amended term sheet in 2005. The joint development agreement was amended in 2007, and the phase one lease was executed in March 2008, all prior to the collapse of the financial markets of October 2008. I move approval.
Second.
Thank you. Moved and seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Are there questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And Mr. Wells?
Yes, Madam Chair. Move approval for the developer for the New Carrollton Joint Development Project. that the board is being asked to approve for the New Carrollton JV LLC, a team led by Forest City Enterprises and Urban Atlantic, as the selected developer pursuant to New Carrollton Station request for qualifications, solicitation, and to execute a memorandum of understanding with New Carrollton JV LLC.
I second the motion.
Moved and seconded, moved by Mr. Wells, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Are there questions first? No one asked a question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other items, Mr.?
No, Madam Chair, that completes the business of the committee.
Thank you very much. The next item is the consent agenda, and I am going to, I've been asked, so I'm going to take each of the items, the orange line rehab first. This is the rehab item that will allow us to prepare for, one, the part of the Dulles, but also to relieve the overcrowding on the orange and blue orange line and realign the routing of the orange and blue line. We are being asked to approve the modification of a contract for the orange and blue lines for rehabilitation in first quarter FQ 9206 by $2.1 billion from $272 million, I'm sorry, and to $274 million, increasing line item number 156 from $3 million to $5.5 million. Is there a motion to move approval?
So moved.
Is there a second? There are other questions. Just to emphasize the importance of this, because this will provide a realigning of the orange and the blue line, and it's a 2012 time frame. This is the contract to start moving that forward, and in 2012 it will make a grand difference in terms of the orange line overcrowding, as well as preparing for the switching that needs to be made with the Dulles line if it comes along that area. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The next item is the program management services contract. And this contract is to approve an increase in the authorization of program management services for $4.5 million for FY11 and $8 million each year of FY12 through FY15. And you see in the chart at the back that the budget increases the 4.5 and $32 million in FY12 through 15, and the prior approval was $9 million. Is there a motion for approval? Is there a second? Are there questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Are these 55 consultants, does this core team, are they temporary or on a long-term basis?
They are assigned, and I'll let Mr. Kubitschek respond, they are assigned to the project.
Some of the staff will be used just for task-specific items. Others might have a little bit more tenure depending upon their importance in the overall process that we're implementing here.
So to answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? All those in favor? I'll recognize Mr. Downey.
I wanted to abstain.
Okay. Mr. Downey is abstaining. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All those voting yes, Mr. Downey abstaining. Our last item is the approval to enter into the master agreement with the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation. This is the item that was deferred from our last board meeting. This item is the approval of grant funding from the Department of Rail and Public Transportation that is part of the master agreement. We had quite a bit of discussion last time, and so before moving it, I want to clarify that this master agreement is a process in which the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation has developed an agreement that allows the transfer of funds to Metro. One agreement exists in which we transfer PREA funding. The other one is agreement between the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission for Metro funds coming from the jurisdictions, and this one is for grant funding. And the Cinderbed project is one of the projects that this particular funding part is part of this agreement. Is there a motion? Yes.
I would move that we approve and authorize the general manager to agree to the terms of the indemnifications contained in the master agreement with the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Hearing none, that's approved. And it brings us to reports by our jurisdictions. Our first report is Mr. Downs from D.C.
I've heard of Mr. Wells on the jurisdiction report.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly that I'm hosting kind of summits on transportation in each ward of the district. In Ward 8, it'll be on April 9th, and you can go to my website at tommywells.org to get specifics, and also at Ward 4 on April 13th. And the representation from WMATA at our first summit meeting in Ward 7 was terrific, and it was standing room only, very well attended, to talk about improving bus service. So, of course, every board member is welcome, but the role of WMATA has been terrific in this. Thank you.
Thank you. Very exciting. Washington Suburban Transit Commission, Mr. Benjamin.
No report, Madam Chair.
Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, I have no report. And from the federal government, Mr. Dale.
No report, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there any other business to come before the board? Hearing none, we are adjourned.